It's been great to be with you guys this weekend, and we're going to close this morning by gathering around the Lord's table and having communion. And so I'm going to invite Caitlin and her team just to go ahead and set up while I chat, and we're not going to talk too long this morning. But just a few like wrapping up or closing thoughts for you as we go. And first I want to read from James 15, sorry, John 13. Man, I needed some of that coffee, bro. See, like, man. John 15, verse 13 says this. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." John 13, 34 reads, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." God, we just pray in these few moments as we wrap up this weekend and prepare to head out into the different worlds we inhabit, our spheres of influence, our schools, some of us heading back into the workplace. God, we just want to carry with us what you have done in our hearts. To those different places, God. We thank you that you've moved in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the work that you've done in us. But God, we know that is only something that is meant to be given away. This is all about the world around us. This is all about others. And so, God, we give you thanks. We've heard these amazing testimonies this morning of what you've done in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that we wouldn't keep that to ourselves, but we would really seek opportunity to share our faith, to share your love. And so in these few moments, as we just contemplate your scripture and come to your table, Holy Spirit, we invite you here again. You're already moving among us, and I just pray that you would bring to a close this time, but in such a way, Lord, that it would influence people for months, weeks, years even to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The first thing I want to say that's sort of a little bit outside of the topic of love, but is just this, that we come and we gather in these sort of mountaintop experiences, if you will, right? Like, and I think that was alluded to in the testimonies. We have a great time and the Lord moves and then we leave. And then we leave. And, you know, you don't have the worship band with you when you go home. You don't have James with you. Thank the Lord. When you go home. And so it's tough, right? Like, it can be a little bit tough. And so the Bible also says in the Gospels, there's a story about transfiguration, right? Where Jesus went up on the mountain and he was transfigured. You can read about that. I believe it's in Mark 9 and Matthew 17. And it was a mountaintop experience. And just as an aside this morning, briefly, I think this is helpful for me and for you, because I'm leaving this amazing experience. Being in a room with whatever it is, 200 of you guys who are hungry for God, this is a picture of what we want to see all across Canada. So we're leaving this amazing experience. And so Jesus and a few of his disciples were up on top of the mountain. They have this amazing experience. And the disciples, like, in a really good way, they were just like, okay, so can we camp out here and like we'll build a temple and this and that and worship? And Jesus was like, no, that's not what this is about. And interestingly enough, if you just contemplate it now, I know that I'm wearing the bloodstones and whatever, but I'm not outdoorsy. Like, I won't even pretend, okay? My wife challenges me on even buying Patagonia. Like, I love to buy Patagonia things, mostly because the warranty is really good. But she says, you know, you can't really do that. You don't own it. But so I don't claim to be outdoorsy, but I do know that if you climb to like the summit, you know, John, I think this is true. If you get to like the top of the mountain, is there much growing there? Right? Not really, right? If you get to the top, you can't really even, I think, I haven't done it. One day I will. I'm gonna take Blake with me. Take Joanna. All right. Okay, wow, man. Well, Blake and I and Joanna. All right, Blake, all right, okay. But one day I want to go and see for myself, but things don't grow there. And you can't really breathe there. And it's a very difficult climate to inhabit for a long period of time. And I believe that that reminds us that these moments are to sustain us in the call of God. They're not meant for us to live in and be in forever. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about ourselves and our development this weekend, but the purpose in that is that when you go back home, when you go back to work, when you go back to school, you are filled up to overflowing so that you can reach out and love others. And here's the interesting thing, and then we'll get to this text on lovey-dovey stuff and close it up. But is that Jesus sustains us in the valley. We get to the mountaintop, we have this great experience, and we come down from the mountain, but really, where do we experience God's power? We talked about it last night. When we're unqualified, when we're weak, we experience his power. He's strong. When we're down and out, God is with us. When we are suffering the life that we're called to, right? When we're in the valley, he's there with us. Read Psalm 23. And so my encouragement to you is you've had this great time, hopefully, relationally and in God, and he's done some things for you, but let's carry it through into what we might perceive as the valley or into the regular everyday life, into the process, into our calls, and just watch what God will do. He will sustain you. And the next time you come back here, it's line upon line. Then you just move on up, right? And God continues to develop you. So that's just a thought I wanted to share with you because I'm thinking of that myself. This has been such a great time. But coming back to love, Rizpah, we won't read it again because it's ingrained in you guys now. But if you wind the lens out a little bit and you really think about that story and you ask yourself, what was her motivation? What was her motivation as a mom? What was her motivation to get out there and really to be messy and dirty and gross and deal with these animals? At the end of the day, I think we're safe to conclude that her motivation was love. Love. It's like type in shadow of being at one of these things, isn't it? Like it's proof that you came, is that you have that little, Blake's got it going on too. But it was love. It was love. It was love. And Jesus says, again, the Old Testament, you know, illustrative of Christ, he comes and just takes it to another level and says, this is the commandment. Love each other. And then, this part I love, and the world will know that you belong to me because of how you love one another. Today, as we gather around the table, I really want us to be thinking about that. I mean, there's not a physical table, but what we mean by that is that Jesus broke bread, right, with his disciples in that Last Supper in those moments. And this is a beautiful time for you each to seal what God has done in your heart this weekend. And to do that with missional purpose in mind, with others in mind. And that's what I want you to do. I want you just to take a moment and close your eyes with me. And I want to read a passage of scripture. It's actually a prayer that Paul wrote. And I want to pray that over you, or read this scripture over you. And I want you just to, in your heart or in your mind's eye, to really see what it is. What is that takeaway? What is that thing that God has spiritually formed in my life or solidified? Or maybe it was identity. Maybe it was the message on qualification. Maybe it wasn't anything you heard in this room, but it was in a conversation or some time just out in the mountains or whatever. Whatever that piece is that you know, or maybe you only know. I want you to think about that. I want you to, I would even say, meditate on that, what God has done in your heart and life. And then in a few moments after I pray for you, we'll begin to partake in communion, and then you're going to pray in your small group. And let's just let this be a sacred moment where we wrap up and we solidify what God has done in our hearts and lives. So just get a picture in your heart of that. What is it that the Lord spoke to you? We heard some of those things during the testimony time. What is it that he did in your life? He did all of that because he loves you. And communion is a picture of that. His broken body, his blood shed for you. So if we can just bow our heads and close our eyes together, and you guys get a picture of that, and I'm going to read this prayer from Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. Don't follow along, just hear the Lord's words to you today. Paul writing and says, when I think of all this, and for me today, it's when I think of everything that's happened this weekend, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots, so my prayer for you, will grow down deep in God's love and keep you strong. That your roots will grow down into God's love deeply and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I pray that you may experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 23:11 says this, and I'll just invite you guys to come with the communion elements. And what we're going to do, I think Caitlin had said, we'll have three stations. So we're going to do one sort of for this section here, and then one in this area here, I think. So you guys just come right over here, yeah. Like, we don't need to be awkward. Like, it's fine. We're all just friends. Like, get rid of that stand. Come on, just. And one here. And I think, and we were saying we'd love you to connect with your small group as well. So I think the way to do that is, I'm going to pray and read some scripture. You come from like your left down, grab your stuff, partake of communion, because we do the dipping, right? Is that, yeah? So to partake of communion, and then when you go back, just get together in your small group and pray together, all right? That's how we'll facilitate this, and I think it'll work out okay. And if it doesn't, we'll just blame Brittany. And that works good. So if you'll stand with me, I just want to read another passage of scripture, and then we're going to move into this. If somebody in the band wants to come back and play, you're welcome to do that. So Paul writing again, and he said this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is of the new covenant.'" The new covenant, guys. It's the new covenant. You're not stuck in some old, broken down system. You can connect with God right here today. "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will be announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." This morning, I invite you to come and partake in communion. And I love you guys. Amen. So, all right, come from your left and head back around to your right, and then pray in your small group. No, really, come.